Twitter podcast.
Twitter podcast.
Twitter podcast. Find us everywhere you listen to podcasts. Now you get to see what it takes to create something for y'all to listen to and watch. Hope y'all appreciate it. Let's get it.
Manny, you know.
Nice to meet you today.
Blanca.
Nice to meet you, Manny.
So, how's your day going today? How was the trip over?
It's going well.
So you're coming from Palmdale from your kids' practice, right?
Yeah.
How's Tino doing?
He's doing well. He's doing better than me.
Really?
He got a shower, got his Oculus. He's ready to go.
He's chilling at the house right now? Yes. You were like, I'm going to go do a podcast. I'll be right back.
Yeah.
Damn.
But with his aunt.
Okay, yeah. Okay. So he got a babysitter. He's not like, it's not like us.
What sport was he playing?
He plays Gorilla Tag. So I don't know what. You mean what number Oculus or?
Yeah, what sport does he play? Because you said that he went to practice.
Oh, I thought you meant. He plays soccer.
Position, midfield, attacking, defense.
He's a goalie and a player.
He's a
I'm
goalie.
I'm learning as I go. So when I say player, he starts as a goalie. Mm-hmm. The second half, he wants to be a player.
Dang! So he does both like positions in the.
Yeah, and today he started with the actual goalie coach. So he's just been playing at Lab 5.
Yeah, that's what happens a lot with youth like leagues. They make you play every position so you understand the game from every aspect. They want you to figure it out that way. And then eventually it's like, all right, what are you really good at? And then specialize in that.
Well, no, he started the opposite.
Uh-huh.
He always said, I want to be the goalie. I want to be goalie.
Uh-huh.
And we were like, no, wait. Like, I was like, you should play every position and then figure out. And he was like, no, goalie. So he started as goalie, but he didn't have a goalie coach. He kind of just learned as he went. So
was there a player that he was like seeing that was like, oh, that I want to be a goalie for that reason?
It's weird because he loves Messi. Messi's not a goalie.
Yeah, at all. Yeah.
Even like he plays FIFA and then he's like, I'm going to make Messi the goalie. And he laughs. He's like, Messi was terrible. He's like, okay, I'm putting Messi back as a player.
What? You could actually do that?
Yeah, you can do that.
Like he does it as a joke.
Mm-hmm. What? I've never tried that.
And then I just be scoring goals as the goalie. Yeah. But it's messy. Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. He'll be like, like he makes all these sound effects.
Do they change
like
his uniform?
Yeah, bro. He gets the goalkeeper uniform.
And the gloves and everything.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, what? You can do that.
Mm-hmm. So,
you can literally put anybody in that position.
I'm going to have to try that tonight.
Now that I saw the goalie actual training, I'm like, I might train with you because it was like they were throwing the ball at him on the
floor.
Yeah,
it's intense because you got to learn the reaction. There's also like some special type of cones that you put on the floor. For when they kick the ball, like the ball does different bounces.
Oh.
So that his reaction time gets better and he's able to predict the eye coordination where the ball's going depending on the bounce.
Well, I've been impressed. I'm not saying that just because I'm a mom. Mm-hmm. For his eye coordination and his reaction because he hasn't had a goalie coach. He's just good at it.
Yeah, it's natural instinct that he's been doing.
He's just been like,
he just hasn't had the training to actually like hone the craft.
Exactly. So now I'm like, I'm excited to see the results.
Oh, awesome. Mm-hmm.
Dang. So
does he have like the vision that he wants to become like bigger in it or?
Yes. He tells his teacher he's going to be a soccer player.
Oh, okay. Like, so that's his goal. Like, that's what he's aiming for.
Yeah, he wants to become a professional soccer player.
But he is a soccer player.
Yeah. I tell him that already. Yeah. He's like, the teacher's like, well, when you get a job, he's like, I got a job. I'm a soccer player.
Oh,
like, that's
snap.
Right.
Yeah.
That's good though.
You got to keep that vision.
They have to also have that mindset, that commitment from them because then it just grows from there because he already has that mentality. Like, that's good.
Well, I already know he doesn't like to be. I know I was late, but he doesn't like to be late to school nor to practice. He likes to be there early. If we miss a practice, which was only one practice last year because he was sick.
Today would be unacceptable.
That's why I said I can't cancel.
He's dedicated.
Yeah, it would like crush him.
Oh,
he
snap.
Like cries, throws. It was raining one time. We couldn't go. I'm like, it's raining. They canceled it. He was like, I don't care. I'm playing in the rain.
Right.
I'm like, he's
that's good.
He's very dedicated.
That's really
good. Yeah, he got the commitment out of it.
I'm like, okay.
How many years have you been playing already?
He started. He's going to be 1 year in September of playing.
How old is he though?
Eight,
yeah.
Oh,
that's crazy. The age.
But
right
I
there.
Wish he started like there's little babies, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Little Enzo or
my kids, yeah. They're
yeah, Enzo and Aubrey.
Kobe hasn't played yet. No, he's still one, but Aubrey for
that boy
sure.
He's barely getting his sea legs, you know what I'm saying?
That's perfect timing, though. I mean, to start teaching all that for him to like soak it all up.
Right. Well, he started asking about soccer literally since he was like 3 years old, but I thought it was just something, he'd be like, sucker. And he'd kick the ball around the house.
And you're like, that's a normal thing. Every kid. I didn't even
know, though, that you can put your kid in it that early. Because you're a
single mom, right?
Right. Yeah. I'm a single mom. I didn't know that you could put your kid in literally when they're like two. At lab five, you can put him in when they're like two. I didn't know that.
So when Messi comes here to LA, are you going to break the bank and take your son to go watch him?
Oh, wow. I'm 10 heads a step. 10 steps ahead. He's going to Chicago October 17th. The tickets are much cheaper. I'm going over there.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice. Cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Chicago Fire.
I was telling them that I have a coworker that he bought the tickets before. Like, there was tickets for like $80. And basically, as soon as he was officially announced that he was coming here, those same tickets skyrocketed to $400.
Yeah.
Just to watch him here in LAFC.
But I mean, LAFC tickets alone have skyrocketed. Like, last year I tried to take him to a game, they're like $500 with no Messi, playing against no Messi.
Oh, they're good seats.
It's also a new stadium too.
Right. And they won the championship.
That too, yeah.
So but so I mean Chicago.
Blanca knows what she's talking about with soccer.
His grandparents are from there. So we usually go to Chicago. That's why I said no, I already thought about that.
Right.
Are these your parents? The
No, his dad's side.
Dad's parents.
So because you're Mexican, right?
Mm-hmm.
You grew up here in LA?
No, but I came here when I was 21. I'm 38 now.
Okay.
So I don't know what, like. So you grew up in Mexico? I feel like I'm kind of an LA native.
But you grew up
in Mexico, but I was born in Mexico.
In Mexico,
and
¿dónde?
I went in Nogales, Sonora.
Sonora, Mexico.
Sonora, okay.
Nogales? So that's by Texas, right? Or by
Arizona.
By Arizona, right? Because there's a Nogales that's in Mexico. There's Nogales in Arizona too, right? I've heard about those two cities.
See, I got this. You guys know about this?
This what did you call it, Enzo? Or what did you call it, Enzo?
Echo in Mexico stamp.
I told you.
Echo in Mexico stamp. Echo in Mexico stamp.
But no, that's like all old immigrants.
Yeah.
Any immigrants coming in back then? The 80s and 90s.
Almost
to
like early 2000s probably.
Like if your mom was born in another country, she most likely
Both my parents
from the
have
shot
that,
they gave them.
Does your mom have this?
I think so. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. I always like...
Both my parents, yeah.
Used to like put my finger in it.
Oh, pause.
What is this?
Yeah.
No vacuna que me dieron cuando estaba bien.
Exactly.
Shit. Okay. It looked like it hurt.
That's exactly what.
So how was growing up in Mexico in Sonora?
I stayed there till I was 6, and then I went to Arizona.
Oh, okay.
And then at 21, I moved here by myself.
What made you move to LA?
My family lives in Arizona still.
Arizona.
What brought you to LA? What made you go from like a Mexican little girl from Arizona to be like, ah, man, I'm gonna become an LA girl?
Well, it did start in Mexico. So my mom used to work at a boot shop when I was little. And I would smell all the boots and the
leather.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Right. And one day she was like, they're having a fashion show. I didn't know what that was. She took me to the fashion show of the boots and she was carrying me. And I remember seeing the girl. And you know, it wasn't like a high end fashion show. It was literally, I just saw the girls modeling the boots, the snake skin boots. And I was like, I want to be one of those girls.
Oh, snap.
So I was 3 years old when I saw that. And I just saw it, visualized it. And I always wanted to be that. So then when I was like 13, I asked my parents to put me in a modeling school. Because at the time they had Barbizon Modeling School, which is terrible. They just take people's money.
Oh, shit.
But it's like a lab five.
Oh, okay.
So for modeling. So they teach you how to walk down the runway, how to be professional in front of a camera. If you want to be a writer for like a fashion magazine, they show you how to put it together. It's kind of interesting, I guess. But they do like, they kind of lie to your parents because they take more money. They're like, oh, you got to take headshots and all these things. And then we're going to submit your kids to
so
like
casting. Oh, so there's add-ons is what you're saying.
Right.
And those add-ons
and I'd be like, daddy, please,
money.
Like, I need this, this. Mm-hmm. And you know, my dad would be like, okay, mija.
Yeah, he's trying to please you.
Right. But Barbizon really did nothing for me. But when I think back, I guess it did show me like the first steps of like going down the runway. However, I was too short to be a runway model. And that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to be a runway model.
Yeah, because they got to be like six feet and up.
Yeah, and so every audition that I'd go to, they'd be like, you're pretty, but you're too short.
Oh, shit.
And they would tell me that, and I'd cry. And my mom would be like, oh, that's why I don't want to bring you here, because you cry every time.
You should have done what Messi did.
What?
They like, oh, yeah. They like put some, what is it, shin or his knees that they like fix?
No, but he was like a real, real, like, he had a, like, my son told me, right? All it was right. like he had like a
deficiency
as a child. And didn't that, was it Barcelona that paid?
I paid for it, yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't doubt it. Yeah.
That was crazy. My dad didn't have that type of bankroll.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah, no.
Not as much. So did you find like alternative modeling that you liked? Since you couldn't do the runway?
Yeah, so I did print. So I would do anything locally. I mean, I was 13 at the time. And then I did it all the way until I was like 18. And I was just doing, but I would do local like fashion shows in Tucson. Mm. That's where I'm from, Tucson, okay. Arizona. And it's like newspaper, just random little stuff. And I don't know. Then later I was like, well, I gotta like, I want to be on TV now. So then I started thinking about other stuff.
Mm. Gotcha.
And so that's where like at 17, 16.
Yeah.
You just LA was the destination. That's where the cinema's at. And then you decided like, I'm going there.
Not really, because it's weird. So I guess I thought I was just going to get discovered in Arizona for some weird reason. Mm-hmm. And I went to my first concert when I was 18, which was Usher and Kanye West. Kanye West was opening for Usher. That was during the Jesus Walk tour. He literally had the like Jesus Walk shirts, remember? Mm-hmm. And I really don't tell many people a story because they're probably like, you're right. But all my friends in high school will be like, yeah, that really happened. So I go to the concert and we had nosebleed seats, like they were way at the top, whatever, we didn't care. Me and my friends. And then when we were leaving, some guy comes up to us and he's like, hey, you guys want to go backstage? And we're like, okay. And then he's like, someone wants to meet you. And I was like, Usher? And he's like, no, but come on. So I was like, okay. And he was like, we're going to go to the after party. Do you girls want to go? And we were like, we're not 21. And they're like, it's fine. So we're like, okay, we're still like walking back there, like, what's gonna happen?
Right.
And then when we walk back there, Kanye walks out with his Jesus Walk shirt, which we actually went to the show to see Kanye. We didn't go see Usher. We liked Usher, but we were like, we loved Kanye. Right. You know, that Jesus Walk album, I think, is one of the best.
It's iconic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we go back there, and then he comes out of nowhere and he's like, oh, he's like, do you want to go to the after party? And we were kind of like starstruck. We weren't like really saying a word. We were just like staring like, is this happening?
Right.
So then he was like, again, I brought it up. I was like, well, I'm not 21. Mm. He's like, it's fine. It's my after party. You can come. Okay. So we get in the car. Oh, actually, I say, can my friends come? He's like, of course. We get in the car and when we get to the party, you would like, I thought it was going to, I didn't know what to expect. We've never been to a club before. I mean, we probably went to those little 18 and up.
Little lounges and shit.
Yeah. Lounges,
yeah.
So he literally sat there and talked to me the whole 30 minutes that he was there. Cause he didn't think, yeah, he was there for 30 minutes. That's like an appearance, I guess.
Right, right.
So he sat there and he's like, where are you from? And I was like, Tucson? He's like, no, no, no. He's like, what's your ethnicity? And even back then, I didn't even, no one had said ethnicity to me before. Because everyone's Mexican in Tucson. Right, right. I didn't know about Arabians. Mm-hmm. I didn't know about a lot of Ethiopians. Nothing.
So the melting pot, you found it out over here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Out here, it's like where Armenians, everything, right? So I was like, what is that? And he's like, where are you from? Besides, and I was like, oh, I was like, well, guess. And he like said Egyptian. He named all these ethnicities except Mexican.
Because of your olive skin.
I suppose. Yeah. So I said, I'm Mexican. And he was like, what? And that I will say, sometimes I get offended, but I don't care. Because I'm like, well, you guys think Mexicans are ugly or what is it? Yeah. Or do they assume that they're blonde with blue eyes? Because my mom actually looks nothing like me. Really? My mom has blonde hair and light eyes.
So she's like,
my brother, my sister, their skin is much fairer than mine. Mm-hmm. Even when I was little, I'd be like, they'd say negrita. Really? My cousins. Yeah.
Wow.
Which, you know, because, or they'd be like, Morenita. Are you adopted? Because you don't look like your mom. You don't look like your brother.
So you got your dad's genes.
Yes. And then, but my brother and my sister look like my mom. Mm. Right?
That's crazy.
Right. So, but I was used to it. So I'd be like, no, I'm just whatever. And my mom would say, no, you look like a beautiful Mexican, like the Virgen de Guadalupe. Like she's like.
She always try to make you feel comfortable.
Yeah, like your that's own what skin. She's supposed to look because yeah. it's like Aztec, but like you're supposed to look like that.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. Like they probably have like what, Spaniard blood or something yeah, like that?
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Mm-hmm. So she was like, or he said, well, wow. He's like, you're really beautiful. He's like, what do you want to do with your life? So I was like, wow, nobody's ever asked me that. I was like, oh, I want to be a model and actress. He's like, so what are you doing to achieve that? And I was like, I go to local modeling shows. I don't know. He's like, that's great. He's like, but you need to move to LA and like, that's where you can make it. And I was like, well, I don't think so because aren't the girls in your videos so much prettier? It's just 18-year-old mm-hmm. mindset. Right. He's like, no. He's like, do you really think they look like that in person? I was like, yeah.
You didn't understand about makeup. You didn't understand he's about like, editing.
A lot of them smell. That was hilarious. Mm. He's like, and they have acne. They don't look like that in person. Like sometimes I see a girl and like I'm flipping through the photos and when they show up, I'm like, who's that?
Right.
Mm. He's like, she looks nothing like
the headshot is different from yeah. the in person.
He's like, so you should go to a new city. He's like, and listen, if you don't make it, he's like, you need to practice around the best or be around the best because you also like learn a whole new city, other cultures. You'll be around fine restaurants. He's like, you're going to be more experienced. He's like, and that's the only really, he's like, you can't really fail because you will be somewhere else bigger than this. And I really listened to that and I was like, okay. And then so that conversation the,
that pep talk that,
basically put a battery in my yeah, back. Like, now well, it's he like, said
let's move
it.
To LA. Yeah.
Right. And then I was like, so at the time we used to like have little flip phones, remember?
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be like, because people wouldn't really take photos like that.
Right.
Yeah.
So
selfies weren't
a thing.
Right. That's why I'm like, I'm thinking no one's going to believe this. I need some proof.
Yeah.
Right.
So I was like, which I really do I mean, actually that's have a selfie, a weird, now, awkward yeah. flip phone selfie. So I was like, well, will you talk on my voicemail greeting?
Mm. What?
And he said, sure. That's why I said all my high school friends, I'm like, no, this they would call my phone just to hear the greeting. So he said, what up? This is Kanye to the, you reach Blanca, leave a message or whatever you want to do, holla. And they would be like, beep. And so all my friends would be like, no way. Because it literally was like he said, you've reached mm-hmm. Blanca. Mm-hmm. Leave a message or whatever you want to do. Holla. And it stayed on That's there forever. Like when we got new phones, I was like, that. I was sad to get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
I should have kept it forever, right?
Right, right. That's sick. And then that was what? You're 18?
I was 18. And then I graduated high school like the next month or whatever, I met my friend Ivan, who I told you about.
Right.
That was his barber forever and like a creative director. And he became one of my good friends since then. And he would be like, yeah, you need to come to LA, like go out there. So when I moved to LA, I went to his first Grammy party, like when he won all the Grammys. I went to the Grammy party. I was like exposed. That's how I started being exposed to like celebrity life, I guess.
Right, right.
But they never like really were like, oh, I'm gonna put you in my video or anything like that. No, like they put me in places and I did it on my own. Right. I never like asked to, hey, can you do this for me or not? Like,
so
I
did
just,
you get into like the music video scene?
Not by them, but just. When I started seeing how they operated, mm-hmm. I started going on my own.
Okay.
Like, I just asked, who are these? Well, at his party, I would meet, like, casting directors. Mm-hmm. Or that's how they would actually put me on without knowing, but I knew. Like, he'd be like, he does casting for this. Really? This, and I'm like, so, and it's like they were throwing you, like, little alley-oops. Yeah, and if you were smart, I'd be like, oh, thank you. He'd be like, you should meet him, and you should meet that. And this girl, she works for LRG. Remember that brand?
Right.
LRG used to send me clothes for free forever.
For real. I used to love that because of my brother.
Right. And the little
the research group. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I would meet people through them. With sick. Yeah. And
they're
then,
still, like, I like how they still sell apparel to this day.
Yeah, since 1947.
That's dope.
Yeah.
That's really, really cool.
So that was the story of how I got here.
And then what was like one of the first highlights that you were like, damn, this, I'm so glad I came to LA. Like, this was worth it. Like,
well, right, the when you first, got here. Yeah, the first year that I got here, I was just doing extra work because I didn't know what to do. Like, I was just like, oh, you know, I heard you got to build your resume. So I was just like going and being an extra all day.
But oh, I was just literally extra, like an extra on the on like the movies. Set type of thing. Right. Okay.
So
you didn't understand that connections were more powerful than you just auditioning everywhere.
See, I had to clarify because the audience would be like, "What was she? Why was she being so extra?" Like, you know.
Oh, right. Yeah. No, working.
Term means something else.
No, right. I started
Gen
as like
Z's out here. You know what I'm saying?
Have you guys seen? Sorry, I hate to go on this little tangent. Have you seen that tattoo that Gen Z people are putting on themselves? No. It's like a little tattoo they're putting on their, like, on behind their ear or something to identify their Gen Z. And I was hearing that it's like actually like a Nazi symbol. And I'm like, that's crazy.
Are these the 90s kids?
No, the Zen disease are like 2000 and up. Like,
yeah,
the kids that don't know what, that don't remember 9/11 or just didn't live through it. That's how I see it. If you don't remember 9/11, like, I remember that thing. I was kindergarten, but I remember it.
What? No, you were not in kindergarten.
But I remember it. I literally remember waking up and seeing the Pentagon on fire.
I was watching.
I saw the second. I remember we were seeing the second tower get hit, bro. That was to this day, bro. I remember being woken
up, and my dad was like, he was leaving to work, and he was like, something happened in New York. Something's happened in New York.
Yeah, because it was 6 a.m. here, and it was 9:30 over there already.
The first one was already burning, and then he leaves to New York, and like 45 minutes later, the next plane hits. And
he didn't leave to New York. He left to work, sorry.
Yeah, well.
I watched it live because guess how old I was?
How old were you?
I was 16.
Damn. 16?
You're like...
And I believe it was like...
My older sister was like 12.
12, 13.
Because yeah. her 15 was in 2005.
Yeah, because so 2001 was... I mean, 4 years before that.
It was, so she was like 11, bro.
Yeah. My teacher gave us assignment to watch the news every morning. So that's the reason I watched it live.
Were you going to school that day as well?
Yes.
How was that? Because we were on it. We were in school that day.
Yeah, summer vacation.
I mean, we were in shock. We were supposed to go to Disneyland that day. Shock.
Did you even have school that day? Did you guys even like go through that?
We watched it again when we got to school.
But I mean, like, did you guys actually go through the normal activities of like having?
Nah, the school stopped. For me, it stopped.
Like, I don't remember.
They stopped and then they sent us home. Like, they didn't.
Yeah,
want to continue teaching them the rest of the day.
Because I mean, like I said, I was at home. I don't know about you. Were you at home too when 9/11 happened? School. Yeah, because I was B track back then, so that's not how.
Me, you were in the same track, but I don't remember. That was like fourth grade.
But wait, I have something deeper to ask you guys.
What's up?
So back then, remember, we believed.
Oh, well,
now I'm like, I've gone down the rabbit hole. Now I believe the government did that, right?
That's what they used to. I mean, yeah, there was like people saying
because
that.
It doesn't make sense when you think about it. They'd be like, how it
collapsed and shit. Yeah. There's like,
what do you guys think?
So ever since that, because that's a memory in my childhood that I have, that I don't want to say I hold dearly, but it's very vivid in my memories. And ever since then, there's been so many documentaries that have came out. Like, I remember watching one when Netflix was just kind of like popping off and whatnot. And that Netflix tripped me out because they remember mentioning that day there was a simulation going on amongst the military.
War games.
Basically, and there was like the simulation was a hijacking.
Mm-hmm.
So at first, when the reports came out, people didn't take it seriously because
the military
thought it was an exercise.
Yeah, so it's like when I heard about that, I'm like, dog, how? Like, it's some things are just sick ass coincidences, and some things are just they're just not. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, so, but there was also supposedly one that
just more and more like the one that just came out recently on Netflix, where like it's like HD footage. Of what happened
that day?
Where you
hear the bodies hitting the floor?
Where you see them jump? Like that one, low key. And I was in New York recently, so I went to World Trade Center and all that.
It's
so
called Ground Zero.
Yes, exactly.
I've never been, so I need to go.
So just being there gave me chills and everything. Just thinking like this whole city, this whole island, basically as New York City. Yeah, went through that. Like I could just imagine your everyday life just. Getting flipped upside down, dude.
That's the thing. And then we're in a rabbit hole, right? Let me go into the rabbit hole with y'all.
What is it called? The conspiracy theory rabbit hole.
It just sucks because it's just one of those things that
there's
like,
New Yorkers that say that they that there was bombs inside the World Trade Center when it came down.
Huh? Yeah.
There's New Yorkers. And
yeah.
Then, like,
I mean, people live
because people talk about the way the building fell. That
right.
It's
well,
no
World Trade 7
it's
just
more
collapsed.
Like a demolition.
Right.
Demolition way of collapsing.
And there's also one called Tower 7 that.
World Trade 7 collapsed.
That it's like it was like it was like
it
didn't even
get hit
by
nothing.
It just
nothing
fell out of nowhere,
it,
bro.
Just collapsed. So,
well, after COVID, I believe in it more because COVID just didn't happen.
And also, one thing that going deeper and deeper, it wasn't the first time they tried to hit the World Trade Center. In the 90s, there was like a van in the basement that had a bomb and whatnot.
Yeah, that happened before.
So it's like, there was a lot of stuff that there was like anticipation and whatnot. And then like, I remember one thing that I remember my dad would always point out back then is that Bill Clinton closed a lot of
military bases and stuff like that.
So like their response time wasn't as efficient because they weren't able to scramble because a lot of things had been closed down and whatnot.
But then there was one that they scrambled and they didn't want to shoot down they didn't want the Air Force to shoot down the plane. And there's a movie about it, Flight 97 or 93. Yeah, that actual.
That's the one that crashed in Virginia or something like that.
They like just fought for it. But if they didn't fight for it, they was headed towards D.C.
Yeah, towards the Pentagon.
Towards White House. Because the Pentagon had already been hit.
Was going to shoot that plane down. And those people were like, we'd rather kill ourselves than get shot down, you know? Like
in that show that I was telling you guys about earlier, I'll spoil this part for you. There's a part where like those jets get on them and whatnot. And it's like you're like tripping out on what's going to happen too. And it's like they find a way how to not evade that from happening, but like
from getting shot down.
Yeah, obviously the plane didn't come down, but you know, that's one part about that. They avoided that. And then they made a whole movie about it. They have a couple movies about it actually.
I mean, but that's why I'm like, you've seen actual people saying, I heard the bombs going right.
Yeah. I don't know. The other thing they talk about is the material that was used, the graphite, and the science behind the type of material. And
like those steel beams can't get melted with those type of materials. Yeah.
Or just to say, like, you know, how smart they are. If someone comes close, they have those fighter planes ready to attack. So you really let all of them, never mind.
So
they also talk about aircrafts, right? Like, I don't know if you've ever seen when an aircraft gets hit by a bird and the damage that a bird does. And then they talk about how is it that a bird can do that much damage, but yet
it made a perfect dent into the building.
This one goes like all the way into the building. Technically, the building should have taken down the aircraft.
Right. It should have been like
the aircraft, the building.
Then in pieces once they hit the place. But it was like the whole building, the whole plane went through the building.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was crazy.
And it's just like physically, like physics speaking, shouldn't be happening like the way it happened. But then I feel like I hear that it were drones. Like I hear that in conspiracy theories. Like they were actual it sounds very crazy to say because people actually lost people in that day.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
But it's
crazy
that's the one part where
that people say that, like, I don't know. There was even, I remember Mos Def. There was a rapper, Mos Def. He was cool with Kanye around that time.
Yeah,
and he used to say George Bush knocked down the towers. Like, all these people were saying, blame it on George Bush.
A lot of music was saying that.
You know what I'm saying? And then it's a trip to then realize, like, Dick Cheney was our president, right? And he was he owned so much stock in Halliburton, and then Halliburton was
the shadow president.
Yeah, right? I was like,
Dick Cheney was the shadow president,
right? He was the one pulling strings, and he's over here rebuilding all the countries that they were going after and shit. So it's, I don't know, man. That rabbit hole.
George Bush was the face.
I did not expect that one from you. I'm gonna tell you that much.
But what I like about what you said was that, like, comparison with 9/11 and COVID was that the way that life was done after those events changed.
Yeah, it changes everything. Right. Yeah,
we couldn't carry liquid on the plane anymore.
But I don't
you guys did
that drastic though. I think COVID did come in.
Well, that's
no, because part two is coming.
No,
so
TCA didn't exist.
Oh, I like that. What's she talking about?
TCA didn't exist prior to 9/11.
I'm talking about what really changed after COVID. I feel like we went back to the only thing that's changing COVID after is there's a huge wage disparity.
Oh, actually, that's right. Because like you said, TSA got created after.
You know what I'm saying?
We had to take our shoes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We used to just go and do whatever.
You could go all the way to the gate. Now you can't.
You can't carry water. Mm-hmm. Yeah, all this silly.
Like, if they would have kept the strictness of like, oh, shit, if you get COVID, you still have to be quarantined. But they lifted that after 2 years. Like, they were like, no.
Yeah, but I mean, one of the major things is like the use of money. The use of money changed. You can take that into consideration. Cash and coins, all that became something that people stopped relying on.
That's
everything that we've moved on to purely electronic. And eventually it's going to become to the next step.
Okay, right? So I could agree partially what you're saying, because it was to an extent that they were, it seemed like with COVID they were going to push that into effect. Mm-hmm. But it hasn't happened completely just because I'm a barber and I still, you know, I still see a lot of people. We're still handling money.
Yes,
but it does,
but
feel
it's
like
not to the same extent.
No, yeah, because there's a lot of car washes that aren't even taking cash. And I'm like, really? What?
Dude, the coin laundry,
it's
my house.
Our card now?
The coin laundry by my house.
So they're trying to take it out little by little.
With the phone or the card. It's not with coins anymore.
My thing is,
I'm like, you probably haven't noticed because you probably have a person that pulls up and washes your car.
Right, but then check this out. The thing about that also is, how are they going to, like, let's say if they do try to take the cash because it has germs and all
that
shit.
No, I'm saying it.
The card's still going to have cash. No, I know, right. But I'm just saying, like, if their logic was, we're going to take the money out of the circulation, so they're not going to get sick because the money's dirty and assholes and all that.
I think it's to control to see what you're doing.
And then that's what I think it is. That's why I think they want us to go electric in cars.
Well, I think, I mean, isn't that
going to take over? Right. Or cryptocurrency.
Not even that. It's
crypto arena.
You guys haven't heard of
Fed?
Well, they lost the naming rights. They couldn't pay it anymore.
Fed now.
Oh, I.
No, they didn't actually. They kept the naming rights.
No, they found a way.
They're just not doing business in the U.S. or somehow. That's some weird shit.
In my Coming to America voice. If his mama named it Staples, I'm calling it Staples.
Right.
But it's still Staples
Right.
But now, I think it's supposed to take an effect this summer or next year. I'm not sure. But the whole FedNow system, where they're getting rid of Zelle, Cash App, Venmo.
When is that happening?
You guys haven't heard of FedNow?
Yeah.
Huh?
You guys haven't heard of Fed now?
So hold up, the Fed is monopolizing
that part.
Everything, because that's what I'm saying.
So that's how they don't know what currency.
No,
you're spending your money on.
We talked about that already in the podcast.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's supposed to be taking an effect soon.
You asked what was one thing that changed, and I was like, it's currency. That's what changed.
But it hasn't happened yet.
It's supposed to.
They're trying to implement
it. No, because it is slowly, like I said.
Because wasn't the Cash App guy that died?
A car wash, and I'm like, you don't take cash. What? There's no workers here.
Like
you got to wash your own car.
Apple just monopolized on the whole thing of pay after. Now you don't have to use Afterpay or Klarna. Now you can just use Apple. Apple does that for you now.
Oh, wait, what?
You can pay in payments through Apple.
I need it. Sign me up. What is that?
Yeah, bro, it already does it for you. It's
we
your,
need a new
wallet.
Dyson vacuum.
For real, huh?
So it's already doing that. So that's what I'm saying. Like, there's a lot of things where you can see like how it's changing it little by little. Everything, like it with Apple, like the fact that you can text money to someone.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like hey, let me.
But
just
that's
text
why.
You
that's why the Fed want to get into it, like, because they want to keep tabs on all that money that they ain't getting taxed on.
Exactly. Well, that's the whole Zelle thing, right? Because during the pandemic, Zelle got famous. What did they do? Or now you got to use your bank. Like, I remember I used to be able to use the Zelle app.
Mm-hmm.
I got to use it through my bank. Mm-hmm. You get me? So, like, that's the thing. They started doing that. The other thing, it's like, if you look at how we buy food, how we're doing now, everything. You know,
I don't go grocery shopping as much. I go Instacart.
Exactly.
I Postmate a lot.
There you go. But you're proving my point, bro.
But that's
cool. Like, that's how the
that was existing before COVID. I'm just saying that we use it more frequently before than.
But
it was already
existing. It wasn't as massive. That's the whole point. Now it's to a different extent.
But I feel like I use it now more not because of COVID, more because of convenience.
I was just gonna say it's because of convenience.
Like,
it's
I just don't want to.
Like,
I save time. I save time and gas from going to the grocery store and spending in line sometimes because there's people that are like just backed up. I hate going to Target because, and then you got to buy kids' toys sometimes. Like, I got three kids. I ain't trying to buy three
Come
toys.
Come on, the kids' toys would be fun for me.
Nah, man. Not when they want like this one, and it's three times.
Yeah,
and you're like,
so question. While Tino's, you know, in school or playing soccer, what is mom doing?
Currently
doing, you know.
First of all, now he keeps signing me up to things.
Holy shit.
You're a soccer mom now, so yeah.
No, definitely. Literally, watch this. So today was the first.
That's tribute.
Right. I'm like, my personal stuff is getting smaller and smaller. It's fine. But he'll be like, today today was the first official practice for the new team.
Gotcha.
The ones before were unofficial ones, and I bring him to unofficial. That means for kids that want to just come.
Right.
Which he's going to all of that. So today the coach was like, oh, okay. And when I say I'm learning as I go, because I've never been on a soccer team. I don't know nothing. He's like, so who wants to volunteer to be the team mom? And Tino doesn't know anything. He just raises my hand. He goes, my mom.
She's bringing all the snacks.
Right. No. And I and he's like, so the team mom does the, you know, score at every game.
Oh, no.
I guess at this.
So it's not just his responsibility he's putting
in. Yeah, no, you got to text the other parents. Like, you have responsibility. So I'm right. like, oh, he's putting me in the PTA without me knowing. Oh, shit.
And then he's like, the PTA leader.
Right. No. And he's like, my mom will. So then he's like, you got to be doing the fundraisers and all these things. So, of course, I was like, okay, because he raised my hand for me.
Yeah.
So, I mean, my time is being very limited, yeah. but I think I'm just going to focus on being the Kris Jenner of my son's soccer career because it's one for me.
Dope.
I do Uber and I still go to auditions. I haven't gone to auditions in a while since the play, actually. Oh, I haven't done anything.
I went to one of her plays, by the way. One for the books.
Yeah, tell us about that play. I mean, I know you played a very interesting character in that play. Tell us about that.
Are you guys going to come to the next one? Because you got to meet Shaquana.
Straight up.
Give us a little bit of Shaquana right now.
No, we're not going to give you Shaquana. Right. I need my wig. Right. I can't get in character if I don't have the wig.
Just pretend it's
that.
That's crazy.
Just pretend
it's that. Well, look at you talking to me like that.
That's the whole point of acting.
No, you just missed it.
And scene.
She goes, well, look at you talking to me like that. I'll tell you what. If you want to spend your time and your money, then you go right ahead. But you won't be getting none of this exotic gold. Now he's going to do Pookie.
Right. Go ahead. Pookie.
Just because Pookie's just crazy. And he's just like, oh, yeah, damn, I will. Oh, my God, do Pookie too.
I got to go back in my memory bank and remember, like, girl, what you talking about? You know I'm fucking with you.
Shaquana. Shaquana was my first theater role, and I love Shaquana.
That was a dope guy. That was a dope
I did
play.
Theater, though, to brush up my acting skills, because if you can't do theater, then you're not scared of anything.
Get you out of your comfort zone.
And I actually went to the audition as a mistake. I thought it was a movie role. Because I read the script. Okay. I read the script. I didn't see at the top where it said
theater?
Musical play. Oh. Musical play at that. Because Shaquana actually had singing parts.
Right.
But remember that musical part? I just danced along because I said unless Shaquana wants to wrap it up, I ain't doing
right.
I'm gonna be Cardi B.
She not the triple threat.
No, right. I'm like, Shaquana's gonna be up in there like Cardi B, but no. So when I actually went, though, long story short,
you go straight guap on there now.
Yeah. Oh my god, no. That movie with the gunshots, is that the guap song?
I don't know. It's just one of Cardi B's songs.
I don't know. All I'm hearing now is pow, pow, pow. That
No, there's a new song now that starts like that.
Yeah, pow, it's called, pow.
Isn't it like Peaches or something?
Is that what it is?
With Cardi B?
It's with 21 Savage and I forgot.
No, it's called pow, pow, pow. Yeah, watch.
No,
pow.
It's not that.
Watch.
Yeah, there's watch. A new Ratchet song.
No, I'm telling you.
A Ratchet song.
I'm telling you, it's this song. Watch.
It's hilarious.
Let's see.
Pow, pow, pow.
Is it the one with the girl? Where she's featuring that girl and they're in the grocery store? Because you put that music video last time where he...
Yeah.
It is Peaches. But
It definitely does the pow, pow.
Pow, pow, pow. Why? Draw.
I was like, that's called Peaches. See, Shaquana would know that.
Shaquana.
I'm all saying it wrong.
So when you did this audition, what did you do in the audition? What, like?
Well, I could just imagine you going like that.
You're like, I played this song and I...
No, actually.
Yeah, I'm weak. Pow, pow. And Tino's like, mom, stop.
No, right. He would be so... It's funny because Tino does not like none of the ratchetness.
When you get all ratchet, he'd be like, mom.
Oh, yeah. No, you are a sophisticated lady. Act like one.
You are a soccer mom. Sit down.
So I remember you said last time, that when you're trying to get him to act right, if he's acting up, you'll use the Shaquana on him.
Oh yeah. He does not like her. He's like,
I will behave if you stop acting ratchet.
No, he goes, wait, why are you sounding like Shaquana right now? I'm like, why are you acting up? Oh, and then he goes, snap. Okay, yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am.
And then I go, okay, baby. Then I go, nice. And he goes, like.
So that means that Shaquana was alive and well before the audition.
Probably so. Mm.
She was somewhere in there?
Somewhere in there. You got to bring her live.
The audition, okay.
Well,
was
no, like, I didn't audition for Shaquana. I auditioned for another character. Let's see, remember the play. I auditioned for Flo, which is a cougar. And she like...
Oh, that's right.
Flo.
That lady was a character.
Yeah.
Is she a character in real life?
Probably. Well, she will... Yeah. Flo is supposed to be a sophisticated church lady that wears all the labels. She's just very bougie. Like, she goes to the church and she sits down. She doesn't do all that.
Right.
And she likes younger guys. Because she doesn't have kids. She's like the rich auntie that has no kids. That's who I auditioned for. Because I'm like, oh, yeah, I could be that in a movie. So when I showed up, I got the role for that. But then the first day of rehearsal, I showed up at Shaquana. And director saw me. No, it's because I had no makeup on. Shaquana is a 22-year-old. Flo is a 45-year-old woman. Mm. So I showed up with no makeup on, with like my door knocker earrings, my little necklace, and all these gold rings. And he goes like, wait a minute, this isn't the same girl I casted. And then he's like, do you mind reading the Shaquana lines? And I was like, oh, sure. I hadn't looked at the script that far yet because it was like 300 pages. And I was like, okay. So when I read him, I was like, oh, this is funny. And he's like, would you mind being her? And I was like, yeah, I'd rather do a young role. I can do Flo again in the next play.
Right.
I can't do Shaquana again. I'm going to get older. So that's why I chose Shaquana.
Mm-hmm. Damn. And then when is the next time you're going to do that play again?
Probably in the wintertime.
Is he doing better?
Yeah. Because the director and the writer, he had a stroke the week of the play.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I got lucky to even catch the play because it almost didn't happen, right?
Like, yeah. But we kept it going. So, yeah.
Yo, the improvisations that happen in a play are fucking common.
Oh, my God.
When
right?
they forget their lines.
No. It's not even that because everybody remembered their lines. But shit happens that sometimes you can't control, like shit falling off. And
skirts
like,
falling down.
Yo, a skirt fell off one of the ladies and she's like one of the old ladies in the play.
In the church.
And she just stands up and the skirt literally just comes down. And like for a second, she's like.
Like, wait, but not to interrupt you, we got to actually tell people what the play is called. Because then they're like, what are you talking about? The play is called The Missionary Mother's Board.
Right.
And it's based on like old way, because the director, James, was raised in the church, right?
So like a black church.
Yes. And everything to him is comedy. Because you know how people be like, they be falling out, catching the Holy Ghost and everything. Right. He's not like, it's hilarious. So he always thought it was funny to see. So basically, but it still has a positive message. Like, it's called the Missionary Mother's Board, and they're all mothers and wives. So Flo, like you said, she's the cougar. Shaquana's the young girl that goes to the undercover nightclub and gets knocked up by Pookie because she's wild, and she works at the beauty salon with a gay guy that he can't go to church because he was not allowed to be gay back then. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of based like in the 70s, 80s era where everybody's judging you and you look crazy. Like they're all wearing their church hats. You got to be dressed appropriate. So it's just like a play about like all the judging.
That lifestyle. And
yes.
That church that era.
And all that. Yeah.
Traditional like church life. Yeah. Mm,
okay.
But man, that was hilarious. And the thing, ladies, I'm going to send you the clip so you could clip it. Cause that shit.
Yeah, bro. I think I live that in production, bro. Right, Maury? We live that in production, bro, where stuff just goes on and we got to be spontaneous.
Of course.
And then the whole beauty salon house fell at one point.
Right.
She anything live is like
stage and she just stomp, 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 stomp.
Hold.
And then the thing just falls right behind her.
And hits somebody. And it hits somebody in the head.
And the way the person like
reacted.
When it hit them, it was like, shoot. And it was, I think that guy was acting like he's like one of the salon people, right? But it's like, he's acting like, he's like.
No, he was like, now you done tore up my salon. Right, get right, up right, out of here. Exactly. But that wasn't a line.
That wasn't a line. He just said it and it was perfect.
So he didn't know that like those were bloopers. Mm. When I told him, I was like, so no, that was like, not
was
part of it.
Was that supposed to happen? Was this supposed to happen? And she's like,
That shit hilarious. But that's a way to cover up. It's a way to make the audience feel safe.
We think the bloopers made it better.
Like, yeah.
Because like you gotta improvise. As the audience, you're like, well, was that like how you are? Was that supposed to happen? Was that not supposed to happen? So it's like, since they keep in their acting role, everybody just thinks, oh, we're all good.
That was my first play I've ever been to, by the way. Yeah. I've never been to a play.
I've never been to one either.
So it was dope to even
She's
watch.
Like, I just acted in one.
It was a Mother's Day play, too, so.
She's like, it was my first time, just like you. Right.
But, and then, what's next for you? What is the next move as far as your modeling and acting career? Do you want to continue to pursue it, or are you like looking into just, all right, soccer momming it is? Like,
yeah, I mean, I'm not like in a rush, I guess. So like, I'm enjoying my time being a soccer mom, because I feel like your kids grow up so fast. Facts. And it's like, I really love bonding with him and like his friends, the soccer friends. Like, I'm submitting myself slowly, but right now they're on a strike anyway.
Right.
So, you know, if I get the opportunity to audition for stuff, I'm going to go. But, like, if I don't get picked, it
doesn't really hurt my feelings. So, right now, everything is shut down for you as well?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I just kind of think, like, I don't know. I'm just going with the flow for right now.
All right. So, question. You're at one of these soccer games, right? And then we have one of these single dads that come and be like, oh, I see Tino blocking every shot. Like, what are you guys doing for practice? You know, what are you guys practicing? I want to get my son to get better, daughter, I don't know, whatever. And then, you know, he slips it in. He's like, and hey, what if, you know,
it's a rice and action.
We should go out sometime. We should have, like, I don't know. We should just go out sometime.
What's the climax?
I want to know, what would your response be?
That actually hasn't happened, really? And I hope it doesn't.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm just putting. She shut down your climax story.
Damn, bro.
She's like, your scenario is trash, that I don't want it in real life.
All right, Manny, go better now. Give me a better scenario now, bro.
Oh, man. But that does happen, though.
But it hasn't happened to you yet.
No, it hasn't happened to her yet. No, it hasn't.
But I'm sure there's going to be either the single uncle. It doesn't have to be the single dad. It's
going
to be an uncle taking a nephew, and then he could be like, oh, who are you? How's it going? I mean,
so far, maybe they...
How does Tino handle that when another male approaches you?
They actually... I think they're very... Like I said, in the soccer world, they've been very respectful.
As of late, so far.
Mm-hmm. I have not had a weird situation. Mm-hmm. And I think about it like work, especially harder because my child's around that environment. I'm not doing none of that weird, messy stuff.
No, for sure. I was giving that hypothetical just as like, if someone were to approach you type of thing.
I would see it as like a Will Ferrell situation. Like,
why? Because
I love scotch. Like, we're on a good porn star. You love soccer. Scotch. I'd be like, yes, sir, over there.
Right.
Yeah, I know how to direct people back to their corner.
Right.
But no, it hasn't happened yet. Tino, I don't think Tino would like it, but he kind of just goes with the flow too. Like, I've said, well, one day I'm going to get married. I used to say that. Now I kind of just don't care. But he'll be like, yeah. Or one day I actually joked and said, I don't think I'm going to ever get married. I'm just going to be. He's like, don't say that, mommy. You're going to get married. I was like.
He's still holding out hope.
I know. He's holding out. But now we're kind of like, no, we're cool. Like, you know, maybe we're just meant to travel the world together. That's fine with me.
To lead up on that question in that scenario, right? How do you think the dating world has changed? How it was back then and how it is today. How's that changed?
Before you had Tino, as far as like, even now that you have a son now.
Well, I think...
Like, how do you think, like, the approach of guys are back then, today? How's that all changed?
Because I guess mine is trash.
Yeah, bro.
You don't have kids, right?
Or... I do not.
You do?
No.
Oh, just us?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yep. Well, I think I lived it backwards.
She was like, I can tell.
Yeah.
Shit.
I know. I'm joking. I was with Tino's dad for like 10 years. So I think I was technically married young. So I lived through that whole married life.
Oh, so you're in your 20s, you were married.
Yeah. I got with Tino's dad when I was 23. He was 20. One. Look at me being a cougar.
By a couple years.
Right. But then we had Tino 8 years later.
The realization. Know,
right? Right. That was like, no wonder Flo and Shaquan. Right.
These characters resonate with me. That's what shall like, I do?
I could do that for sure. So, yeah. I don't know. I think... Even back then, it was a lot of work. Mm-hmm. Relationships are a lot of work, no matter if you want to be in one, it's a lot of work all the time.
Fuck yeah.
And I just think people are very nonchalant about it nowadays. They just think they're supposed to be there because that's who they have kids with or whatever. I'm just like, no, if you're not putting the work, I'm not going to put it either. It has to be both. And it can't just be the man. It has to be the woman as well.
Mm-hmm. And then...
But how's the modern day dating?
Like, right.
Now that you know, you're kind of back in that scene.
Does that even exist in your world? Do you date with, like, the fact that you have an 8-year-old son? Or is that something that you're like, nah, put that in the back burner?
Yeah, I mean, I did for a little bit after, I think my son was like 5. Yeah, and then when I noticed, it was just trash.
Really?
Like you said.
Can you give us a few scenarios of what happened? You don't got to give us names or anything.
Or, I don't know, maybe
give us names, birth dates, locations.
Women, or maybe me. I don't like the bare minimum.
I was about to ask that. Okay, so if it's a first date, what was your expectation? Or you're just like, it doesn't matter, it's a first date. What was your...
I'm a hopeless romantic.
Okay.
But then I could be very cold.
Okay.
So it's either I don't care... Okay. Or I'm just going to care a lot.
Okay.
So I feel like it's presentation. Mm-hmm. You're not really like going all... And it's not materialistic.
Definitely.
It's just details, okay. Little things. If you just think, oh, she's just going to like me just because I take her to...
Tao.
Whatever. Yeah, I could take myself there. Mm. So it's about the detail. Like maybe you be there a little before me or have a flower there. I don't know. Something. I'm hopeless romantic, so I'm going to stick with that.
Cool.
I'm not going to say all
it doesn't. It doesn't matter exactly what it is. It's just like you said, the details. What do you do to make it stand out in a sense?
Or how people will like start off like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just gradually
drops off.
Yeah. It's just like, well, what happened?
I feel you. Yeah.
Or
I mean,
they don't get what they wanted, maybe.
Or
but
they,
I like that because it's like, okay, go. Please go your way.
Right. You get because to see what it is real quick. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's a very cool, I mean, way to approach it too. But I mean, thinking about that same question, so there's no expectation there. But like asking the scenario, have you ever had like a bad first, like where it was a bad, like you're just already, it was like, nah.
Cause no. You said there were trash.
So yeah.
Well,
there has to be an example of what was trash.
No.
Just the fact that he
actually,
didn't
I should retract a lot of my, I wouldn't say a lot. I'm like, that sounds crazy. It will start off grand, right? Mm-hmm. Like I said, I just like consistency.
Mm.
So then maybe I'm the one that ghosts because it's like, well, you were trying really hard. And then if you don't get what you want, like I've said, I feel like it just... I don't know. It's just...
No,
I'm very happy with my peace. Because like definitely. I said, I was in a relationship for 10 years. So
Because that's another thing that people don't really speak on, like... When you're with somebody for so long and you live with them and all that, you see like the darkest sides of people.
For sure.
Like you see shit that you're like, yo. And then that kind of makes you be like, all right, I want to chill out from this for a little bit.
Yeah, because like every day I wake up happy, I swear, with my child. Like I don't have to worry about if someone's in a good mood. If they're going to be in a bad mood today. I'm in a good mood every day. So is my child. So I don't have to worry about someone's mood. Mm. And that is something that I think people have to worry about in relationships.
Mm. Can we talk about this as your female and like, is it that a man deals with so much that he just sometimes uses the woman as a punching bag or the family as a punching bag or that you saw that to have that expression? Because that's kind of interesting to hear that, like...
Well, that definitely happened to me. That's why I'm very, I guess I would say, nervous.
Cautious.
About a relationship because that would happen. But also I've seen, you know, women become toxic. Like, I turned toxic at the end of my relationship because I was just fed up.
You flip it around. That's
I had
crazy
no patience anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that I like. I feel like as a man that, you know, you're trying to become a better version of yourself, you kind of end up realizing, like, down the line, like, fuck, I've created a monster in a sense. You know what I'm saying? That, like, now you either have
to... You reap what you sow, right?
Yeah, exactly. That now you're like, fuck, like, either got
to yes and no, work though, it through, you know? If you're, like, working to change that and you both have made an agreement, because that happened to me. Like, okay, we're going to both decide to stop our toxic ways and be healthy. You can't keep bringing the past up. I believe if you like for start sure over with a clean slate, then move on. Stop bringing the stuff up.
Right.
And that's what some people don't, female or male, they keep bringing it up. So like I dated a person after, and we actually dated for like 2 years, but I was very cautious still. We didn't move in together.
Had a wall up and everything. Dating
because he would constantly bring up me hosting clubs. I'm like, I was doing that before I met you. And that's...
So he wanted to change you after yes he met you. Okay.
That's what I'm saying. So I'm very guarded now on what I do because, like, no, you're not going to tell me what to do.
Right.
Like, and like I actually
you met me
do,
this way, this is
I would I like am. A man... A man should be a leader. Mm-hmm. And a woman will follow you if you lead properly. But if you're not... If you're just trying to, like, basically be a narcissist, I can't get with that.
And that's, like, trying to control you, not letting you do
or
it.
Or make me feel bad because I hosted a club. I mean... That's easy
yeah, that
little money
job,
for me. I don't necessarily want to do it, but I kind of worked hard to just get the easy fun bucks. I call it fun bucks.
Right. No, that's for sure.
Because some people got to pay to go to a club.
And you get paid to do that.
So, and you're just making me feel bad about it. Like, oh, that.
The guilt trip that like,
right.
Oh.
And it's like, I don't want to. And I right invite you to go with me. So what's the problem?
Right. And so you'd rather have somebody that's supportive of what you're doing than somebody that's going to be like,
let's just go, babe. Let's go for
right,
a little
exactly
bit and have fun and come back. But it's like, oh, this big old fight about it. And it's like, for what? Then I'm like, okay, I'd rather be by myself.
I feel like, you know what? Because I don't know. In my, from my experience, sometimes I feel like it's not that a man wants to control a woman. It's more like we know how other men are.
Oh, you're
that
right.
That we be like, yo, you're going to be in a certain scenario where you might get hit on because he's drunk or
but that means you don't trust your girl.
And then that's the other side of it. Like, you know, if you don't know how she's going to be, if she's under the influence or, you know, it could go either way. You know what I'm saying? So that's where I'd be like cautious, you know, instead of just being like, oh, shit. Yeah, go do your thing. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. That's me personally. But from your experience, it's different because, like, this is what you did and this is how you, you know, this is how
yeah,
you
he met place you that way. That's
right. And then
thing
that's another
it's
thing.
It's not like you spontaneously started doing
that's
that.
That's what I said. I'm like,
yeah,
I've been.
He met you that way. That's what you were doing already.
Whenever.
Like, and then he was trying to change you. And it's like, that's not the
and
way.
And then
it
that's
works
another thing that I saw on Instagram the other day that really made me, like, think about how people in your position having a maybe sometimes you are feeling somebody else and then you want to bring them into the fold with your son and how difficult it is that maybe sometimes that doesn't work out. And then I saw the guy really like talk about, I don't know if you saw it was circulating on Instagram where the guy was like saying that it's, you got to be cautious of who you bring your kids.
Yeah, oh yeah, truck. I've never introduced my son to anybody
that you even
I've
thought.
Like gone on my dates and stuff. Absolutely not. It'll take a long time.
For sure. No, and that's understandable.
Because you got to be careful. Yeah, you got to be really sure. And no, I've never.
Yeah, you
I've
don't,
gotten
want,
on my
you don't
dates
want him to pair a bond with someone that's that you're.
No,
because
that's even worse. Like, they're going to get attached.
Right.
And then you're not going to be
but then
them
also his mental image is my mom brought these many guys
no,
around.
Yeah. No, I just will be like, mommy's going to go to a friend's birthday dinner. I'm going to go to dinner, whatever. He doesn't know what's going on.
Right.
And I don't know. Is that a good or a bad thing? But I just keep it that way.
No, like, it's better for
yeah, and
in my opinion, it's better
and
for
I think
him.
It's also, like, depending on the age, too. I mean, if it's, you know, certain age, they're not going to even understand. You know what I mean? So why even go through that process, I feel?
I just would feel weird if I was a little boy and I saw my mom getting picked up.
Yeah, and no, that's why. Like, that's what I was saying, yeah. You're giving them a better perception in the long run.
And
which,
a healthy
which
one
obviously helps him
out. And a healthy one too, because like I feel like, you know, the he sees his mom as like a positive light, you know what I'm saying? Like she supports me, you know, no other man's in her she's no other man's distracting her, she's all about me type stuff, you know. But I feel like let's say there was to be a man that came around, I'm sure that you would be very cautious and then come around when it's time. Or maybe the guy had to show a lot of effort too to be like,
well, see, that's the thing. A guy that would want to be in my life would actually be putting more effort to be wanting to know my son or what his interests are.
And like, that hasn't happened
yet? Let me go to Tino's soccer game or let me, you know, and I don't know, maybe I give off, I'm too, I got this or everything, but it's like, yeah, not yet. Not as of yet.
That's dope. That's dope. Because I mean, that just shows that like,
that's why I say I don't move on.
But
forward.
At the same time, the reason I think it's healthy is because everything of how he's going to view women is through you. Right. So the way you're acting, the way you're conducting yourself, that's his image of every woman in, at this point in life. You know, that's the sponge and the image he's getting. Well, so the fact that you're giving him that healthy view helps him get a healthy view to, like, you know, how he's going to treat women, how he's going to act, what he's going to do. It's based off what you're doing. You know?
Well, for instance, remember when he got his haircut? After that, I believe, I don't remember, he's gone with me to get my nails done since he was a baby. Obviously, I'm a single mom. Right. So he'd be in the stroller, sit there, give him the iPad. He's been going to the nail shop forever. I already know he's going to be one of those to get his girl the nails.
Right.
You know what I mean? But I want him to be that kind of man. So when I left the nail shop the last time, I was like, you know, babe, when you grow up and you're able, it would be nice if you got mommy's nails. And he was like, oh, I'm going to do that. And then I was like, and when you have a girlfriend, she'll love that too. Mm. And he was like, okay. But before, when he was a little, he used to be like, because, you know, probably like girls are dumb.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, cooties.
But I'm kind of like, even though I didn't get like the best experience, I'm showing him like what girls want. Mm-hmm. You know, so I'm like, so you get, you know, your girl's nails and don't let her ask for it. Like, you do it for her. And he's like, okay. So I'm telling him. Yeah. And then I tell him now, like, open my door. And he goes, okay. Because nowadays kids just be like, they just carry their iPad. They don't care about nothing. If you start with your mom first, I'm not trying to make him like, I'll do all this, but one of my friends gave me advice. They're like, stop letting him run you. Right. Like, you're the parent.
Yeah.
Because he'd be like, mommy, more chocolate milk. But now I'm like, go make it for yourself. It hurts my heart because I'm really Latina. You know, Latinos are like, I'm giving
you
it.
You want to serve and you want to give.
And I keep doing it, but now I have balance with it.
The thing is when you don't do what you're doing right now is that he's not going to have self-discipline.
Mm-hmm.
So
when, or he doesn't know how to become dependent on himself.
Yeah, when you just cater everything, there's no self-discipline in him. The other thing you just said where he's basically going to be dependent on you. He can't do it himself, you know? So it's like, how do you survive? You know, like for me, my parents were now in El Salvador. And the funny thing was my dad was like, how are you going to do it? How are you going to be just by yourself? How are you going to survive, you know? And my mom was like, my mom, I'm 30, but my mom was like, I've taught him.
Such a Latino household.
No, but the funny thing is my mom looks at him and goes, I've taught him everything. He knows what to do.
She's prepared him already.
Right? Like, but my dad's like never seen that side because, you know, he grew up, you know, when I was growing up, he was mainly working. So he never saw like everything she taught me.
Mm.
So the funny thing is now when we're video chatting, she'll be like, did you clean this? Did you do that? And I'll put it. And I'm like, yeah, I did that. Look. It's all spotless.
Right.
And then she'll be like, all right, awesome. Like,
great.
You know?
Well, that's funny that you bring. I started teaching Tino how to do laundry. Because I remember I was like 7, 8 and I was changing diapers. Right. Yeah. I was doing everything. Right. So I'm like, no, he can do it.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm like, no, you go. I do all these things for you. Like, help me out. And he's like, okay. And he actually cleans windows really good.
It's crazy how kids get eager to, like, once you instill certain little things, they're eager to do it after a while.
Yeah, and
like,
it's all about responsibility. Right. You know?
And I'm showing him both. Yeah. I'm like, so he won't need a woman. I'm going to show him how to cook because I don't believe in gender roles.
That's the other thing that she'll ask me.
Yeah.
She'll,
break that down, though.
She'll be like, oh, like, did you cook today? And I'll show her, be like, this is what I did for dinner. She'll be like, oh, okay, cool.
Break that down.
Yeah, gender roles. I don't believe in gender roles.
You know how, like, right now they're saying
parents taught us that.
They're telling kids to forget the roles.
Oh.
But, you know, that's what they're saying. Like, oh, yeah, you can pick whatever you want to be, right? But you're over here raising a boy, and you're like, no, there's no gender roles, but break that down. What's your description or your definition of not having a gender?
Well, it's also like there, you have so many people in my ear, like, oh, you have fans saying, oh, he's a boy. Stop making him soft because he likes his teddy bear. What? He's had that bear since he was a baby.
Right.
Like, some kids like blankets. Some kids like bears. I don't care. And then I had to stop listening to other my friend's husband say, now that's soft, like he shouldn't like Build-A-Bear. But I'm thinking the innocence of it. I'm like, why not? Like, if he goes and puts like a skateboard on the bear, so what? Like, right. My son also, besides soccer, loves costumes. He's always loved like Spider-Man. Yeah, so I always push his creativity because I used to think he's gonna be like a wardrobe, like maybe.
So he's into like
design cosplay. Costumes or like design like because he used to love houses. Like he used to go on what's that game and design houses.
Minecraft.
Maybe. No. Roblox?
Roblox.
Yeah, it's like
and he would design these things and be like, look, mommy, I designed you a beauty room.
Oh, snap.
I'd be like, that's tight.
Right, right.
But he would just like, but he would like actually design like a fireplace with like all these like rocks. So I used to, before soccer, I thought he had like a passion for architecture or just creativity in costumes. Someone was like, yeah, so if he likes Build-A-Bears because he's like putting all these things on the bear,
right?
And it's not like girly stuff, like literally be like a hat with like all this stuff. So I'm like, yeah. And then people be like, oh, you're making him soft, like he shouldn't be playing with the, and I'm like, he doesn't play with the bear, he just likes it, like he just puts.
Nah, I had to go through that stage with Enzo where there's LOL dolls.
Oh.
And wow, man, for the first few years I was like, no. That's stop that. Right. Nah, I used to say that. Like, and then my girl would be like, he doesn't even know what that means. What are you doing? Like, stop saying that. Now he's gonna start thinking that. And I'm like, no, like, what is he doing? Like, he's not supposed to be doing that. You're a boy, like, play with this. So I started buying cars and like trying to just do this, right? And Enzo has the same thing where he just likes to switch costumes, like this doll, like, or but it's an LOL doll, right? So then grandma got heard that dad doesn't like him playing with LOL dolls, so got him a boy doll. And then I was like, nah, what? No, this is still not okay, right? But it was like, I feel like that's just a man thing where it's like, we grew up playing with little toy soldiers and like that, right? And it's like, a female, I feel like, sees it as innocent. Like, oh, he doesn't see it that way.
Right.
You know,
we do. That's what I see it as.
Doesn't see it that way. It took me a long time to really comprehend that, like, look, I'm sexualizing something. You know what I'm saying? But then when I go back to my childhood, I'm sexualizing something because I felt like I was trying to grow up so fast that my imagination, by the time I was 5, I was thinking like I'm 8.
Yeah.
By the time I was 8, I'm thinking like I'm 12. Like, I was just always putting 2 years on. And then now that I'm having my own kids, I'm like, all right, yo, it's not that serious. Because then my daughter plays with cars. And I'm like, and she tells me, what are you going to do about that? She's playing with cars. Oh, look, don't let her play with cars. And then like, I'm like, all right, you know what? You're right. Let me just, you know, chill out, take a breather, because it's not that serious. When the conversations need to be had and the instruction needs to be given, that's when you come in and you do what you got to do. But it's just so hard to be born like in my era where it was like even saying that, that's gay. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was something that at a certain time, like, that's why now people are like canceling that, because people were bullied with that word and this and that. You know what I'm saying? Where it's what, like,
they would say, es un joto.
Right.
That's literally what they would say.
I remember, right? I did my eyebrows. My dad called me that and I was like, no, what the fuck? It's just my eyebrows. I don't like bushy
and
eyebrows.
And then when you had earrings?
Oh, ugh. My. I got earrings until I was an adult and out of the house, because if I said that, if I got them at the house, joto.
Well, see, I'll tell you guys this. It's back to the, I stopped listening to people because I used to be like, oh, okay. And I'm like, I'm just going to do my own thing, like whatever, right? So when I say no gender roles, I'm going to teach him how to be independent as a man so he doesn't need a woman. Because most Latina mothers, I'm sorry, all the mas, they baby the sons. They don't make them clean. They don't make them do shit. They just make them, ay. But all the girls, they have to be your little servant. Why?
Facts.
They technically train you to be a little wife since you're like 5.
Yeah.
But they don't teach them how to be a good husband. Mm-hmm. I don't care. I said what I said. So,
clip it.
Period. And so I'm teaching my son to be a good husband. And if he's not, he'll be in the, like, you're not going to need no woman to clean your house, to, I don't want you to be no dirty man. Like, you're going to know how to do everything.
And would that,
I hope,
would that define a high value man as well?
Yeah.
Exactly, right?
Right.
Hygiene, bro.
Hygiene, all that. Like, it's just, I don't know. My mom taught me, like, how to clean and get on my knees and scrub a toilet, scrub a whole bathtub if I needed to, you know? Like, it's just some things that I feel like you, when you grow up and then you get with somebody and you expect them to do it because they're females and all that. But my mom told me, no, you can do this too. I taught you so that you never need a woman and all that. And then, like, so now I'm proud of, I'm proud to say at least, like, I know to mop and sweep and clean the tub if I have to. And like, I could give her a break, you know, from her handling the kids. And like, sometimes I don't want to be changing diapers and shower them.
Right.
I'll go mop and sweep. And then sometimes I just want to go bathe them and chill with them.
Yeah, because what they would say in the Latino household, porque está limpiando la casa. That's not true. Like, no, that's old way of thinking. You should help your wife. If she's been home all day watching the kids, maybe when you get home,
wash the dishes,
do something, help out. Stop making it like that's this is what a man does. That's what a girl does. That's what I'm like, oh, we're going to do our own thing and whatever.
Yeah.
That's right. I mean, because it really, I agree with that. I especially now when I'm in the thick of having a family and like sometimes, you know, you got to throw away the trash or she got to throw away the trash. It doesn't matter as long as the task gets done. Because if it doesn't get done, you're going to live in filth and disgusting. And you know, you have kids that are trying to walk, crawl and everything. And you don't want your kids in filth. Like, a lot of people don't understand of, like, I see stuff sometimes as like, because I'm married to somebody that's a property manager. And I've seen certain shit that I'm like, yo, y'all live like this? I shit you not. There's some wild shit out there that people have. That they rather live in this conditions than be like, yo, let me just take out the trash. But I guess mama
you don't take out the trash.
Shout out to
roaches.
Mama for not raising no fool. Right.
Them true. Curls, they got something to say.
They do.
What are they saying, bro?
Well, I don't know. What do you interpret from the curls? What are the curls telling you?
I just asked him, what products does he use? Remember, I was like, we gave my son that haircut.
I know,
that's... It's not looking like that.
It's like it got curly right now.
I bet you it's a little crispy. Remember what I said about
the... It's my secret. I won't say it on the podcast.
We don't want to give them free business.
Right, exactly.
And then,
But
and the girls are gonna take my secret. And like,
because no, those curls are popping.
I just seen that too. I was tripping out. But anything? What about toxic masculinity? Do you think? Do you
believe that's like? Do you think that masculinity is toxic? Just
or do you or think masculinity is on attack? That they're attacking masculinity?
Well, explain a little bit what you mean.
So like right now, there's like a thing where it almost feels like a man can't be a man anymore. He can't. Like they're already saying you like.
Like, what, like you can't change a tire or what?
No, like
there's a lot of them that can't do that, believe me.
For sure, but that, like, in the sense of, like, a man can't speak his voice, he can't say certain things because
he's a narcissist or
Or misogynistic or toxic. And then sometimes I feel like certain men need to hear the stuff that other men are saying because they're either, like, a cuck or a simp or XYZ that's just, like, mandilón, you know what I'm saying?
Oh,
like,
exactly. That's actually what it was, a maricón. It was, es un mandilón.
And then that's another thing where it's like, look, there's borderlines. There's how do I say it also, where like, there's an extreme, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, I'll be a mandilón for my girl for a little bit. I ain't done mean I'm a mandilón, but it's like, yo, if I need to help my girl around the house and then you call me a mandilón, I guess I'm a mandilón. But I gotta help my family out. This is my family. You don't sleep in this house. You don't, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, but there are some men that take that to an extreme where it's like, damn, bro, like.
Well, it's because.
What's your backbone?
She said it, though. I mean, it's about working as a team and being committed, knowing how to compromise. That's what it takes. And if you don't have that partner where, like, you can communicate and actually compromise and know, okay, like, this is what I'm doing. This is what you're doing. Like, I think a lot of people confuse that as like it has to be a competition or only I have a say. And it's like, no, you're a team at the end of the day.
You know what I feel like is also a big thing with the whole misogynistic thing? I feel like a man will say a woman needs to submit and they take that like a negative thing. And that's what something like an example of what they say. Oh, he's toxic masculinity because he told a woman to submit. Well, what would you say to that statement?
Well, remember, as your fave, Vanessa Bryant always said, and Kobe always said, we were the best team because they worked as a team.
Right.
But I just think that I respect men that try to think of healthy ways, like, okay, yeah, I was raised to be this way, but you're looking outside, like you're trying to like think different. Because for me, the men that don't even try to like change or like, oh, let's look at it this way, then you're just going to stay that way. But I think a man should be masculine and a girl will submit if you're leading properly. That's what I'm saying.
And what ways?
That's my opinion
like,
about it.
Well, like, what's a proper way that you feel like if a man led you this way or that way, you'd be like, I'm gonna submit to that. What's an example for that? Maybe a guy could take notes out there that needs to hear this. Like, oh snap.
Well, I don't know. I guess how would you say it? Like, if you're a provider and like you take care of your household, your family doesn't need anything
financially speaking,
right? But okay, you're leading properly. However, I guess most couples, sometimes the problem is they don't know how to communicate what they're missing. That's with true. Each other.
That's facts.
Right? So, but it comes to a confusion because it's like, what is masculinity? Like, what's like too masculine is what I'm saying. Like,
true.
What do you think?
Oh, I was talking to having a conversation with a friend earlier. And I was telling him that a lot of reasons why couples end up breaking off or they don't work out is because a lot of people get together because of shared interests, right? Say, for example, I like Star Wars. She likes Star Wars. Oh, we have something in common. It's a shared interest.
Oh.
However, they don't discuss, like, what are your values?
Facts.
And at the end of the day, shared interest isn't enough. It's your values that actually keep you together. So that's where you have to discuss, like, this is what I believe. This is what I was raised on. These are my values. This is how I conduct myself. This is how I carry myself. And usually those discussions don't happen because you're in the honeymoon phase and it's all about shared interest. And what ends up happening is that maybe a year later or 2 years later, then there's values that end up shocking each other. Well, my parents taught me this. Well, my parents taught me this. Well, this is how I was raised to do this. Well, this is how I was raised to do that. Those are values.
Mm-hmm.
So then they start thinking, oh, you've changed. And it's not that the person has changed. It's just that there was never a real discussion about these are my values. These are your values. Because then the problems come, like if you do have children, then what are the values you're going to instill in that child?
Right.
Because the values you were raised on are usually the values you're going to instill
into that child. And bouncing off of that, just like when it comes to the Hispanic culture for men, it's like the, if you will, the toxic
masculinity
would be the machismo thing, the machista thing, where it's just like, that culture is just like you. I feel like when, because I remember someone also referred to myself and Manny as machista, and it, to me that was very funny because when I think of a machista, I think of a guy that's like literally is treating a woman like
his property,
not even a property, but like an object. That's one way, but also like the family too, like even the kids and all that stuff, like. There's this level of things that they believe they're the supreme ultimate thing, and it's like whatever they say goes and all that stuff. And it's like, it's that thing too where we're talking about, it's like if they see something that that they don't like, you know, they're like, oh, stop doing that. That may be gay or something like that. Like, but it's like to another extreme.
That was
like,
machismo back then. Yeah.
But it's too extreme sometimes where they'll start like whipping the kid or something like that because they see them doing that. Another example is like they're very cold, so even if they feel somewhere, sometimes they're not gonna show it. They'll probably do that in private or just not at all because they're just, I don't know if it's just so insensitive. I don't know what the right word is, but they don't ever display that. Like something I feel like has been a barrier that you could say has been broken in a Hispanic man, and I feel like we've done this podcast is just to discuss mental health and discuss those things that affect men that sometimes it's like taboo to speak about because of this very topic, of this very reason that it's like, you're a man, you gotta portray.
Right.
Maybe.
Yeah. Well, from a very young age, a lot of Hispanic kids are told, don't cry, right? You're not supposed to cry. That's not manly for you to cry.
Yeah.
So you're taught to withhold your emotions and bottle it out.
And I think that...
And the thing is also, too, is that the culture itself doesn't lend itself for you to express your emotions.
And I think the whole crying thing for a kid, though, when I see that aspect, it's like sometimes kids also, this is kids in general, not just Hispanic, but kids will use the crying thing as like, this is how I'm getting my way. So it's like, you do also have to break that like chain of them like trying to get away with shit. Yeah, manipulating the situation. Kids are smart like that, you know what I mean?
Oh, they're very smart.
Yeah, so they'll know that that's the way that they can get like what they want and all that type of stuff. So I understand to that extent, but it's like, yeah, like, just talking about feelings sometimes, like growing up, honestly, there's sometimes that, like, I remember, I'm not gonna lie, I remember telling my mom that one time that I liked a girl or something like that. And like, my parents literally like laughed at me, like laughed me out the room. I was like in first grade or something like that. But it's like something
you just, you didn't, they laughed at you because it was funny then, but you took it like disrespectful.
I'm like, wait, never, not even disrespect.
I was just like, you're a kid, like, you don't know what, in a sense, what you're feeling. You don't know what, like, and it's something that, like, I feel like just Hispanics, sometimes they avoid talking about.
At least
about.
They laughed at you, man. I got the cold shoulder a lot of times. I'm talking to my dad, but I feel and it like was that like
to
a wall.
To me, that was like a cold shoulder. It's like I feel like as parents, you should explain to your kids what it is that you're feeling. Like, you know, mm-hmm. you're growing up, you're starting to notice these things and all that type of stuff. But it's like, I feel like I got that talk too late at some point. I got that talk when there was a girl coming to my crib saying that she was pregnant. Mm-hmm. Like straight up in high school and senior year. Oh, no. So it's like, yeah, too late, y'all. Like, shit. But thank God she wasn't pregnant.
How would you react if that happens to Tino? Not happens, but like somebody scares him. Like, they like him enough to be like, I'm pregnant.
Exactly. I think I'm in the border of, I'm not your little best friend, but I am. Because I'd rather him tell me, and he does. He tells me everything. Like,
well I always think about it, even like me and my brother. You're his mom by blood, mm-hmm. but you'll have a bigger relationship and bond. I feel like by choice. Like me and him are brothers by blood, but we've garnished, and you could say a better friendship because right. by choice. So it's like
I just hope he wants to hang out with me when he doesn't have to. You know yeah. what I mean? Like, he's like, I want to go hang out with my mom right. today. Like, I miss my mom. Like,
exactly.
I don't want to push him away. Because sometimes you can push your kids away because you're so annoying and just too much.
Here's the other sad truth about men. The only woman that will truly love him and truly love that person is his mother.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
It's the only woman that will love him without condition.
Mm. And that's right? the thing that's sad.
And that's the thing that's sad about my God. Life.
You said that right there. Cause
that's the sad thing about life. Because, like, say if you want to date someone, she's loving you on conditions.
Oh, what kind of shoes does he have?
What are you providing?
Blanca better bottom of Nike.
I definitely do look at a man's shoes. They better not be dirty.
Hey, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, at least.
And, I understand that. Like, yeah. at least she said.
So let's say
she didn't say it have to be a brand. She
the first
said
date, they can't be some busted Air Forces that are all creased up there. Right,
it's different. Like, if we're in the, you know.
And that's understandable, bro.
If
like,
we're
you got
a gas station or like, something.
I was just talking to a friend recently with Manny. We're just telling him, bro, like, When you're meeting girls, you gotta always put your best foot forward at the beginning, especially your appearance, just because it
keep
says,
it going the whole time.
No,
that's
for sure.
What
but I'm saying,
about.
But you, like for sure that aspect of you, like because your appearance means a lot. So I just feel like yeah,
it's because we have a friend that he's very young, but he's dressing like he's a man in his 40s.
Oh,
really?
And I was like,
hey, and I know he's gonna hear this, so I love you, bro. I'm not even gonna say his name, but I love you, bro.
I was just like, we're saying this message with love, you
yeah,
know, like
yeah. we're putting you on
exactly. Change your dress.
That was the whole
man.
Intention was like,
he
we're putting you on
he
bro, because
like
we love
dad,
you.
Like with the Hawaiian yes. button up or what?
Not there yet. Oh shit! Not there
bro.
Yet.
Bro,
hey, can I?
Bro,
not there yet.
I just got my first
bro.
Pair
she
dad
hit it.
Even though I love those dad shirts, I get them for
my
dad.
First pair of dad
I love
shoes.
You, bro.
These are cool. You think these are cool dad shoes?
Bro, these are my first dad shoes.
Those are not dad shoes.
These are dad shoes.
Those are cool shoes. They
yeah.
go in the dark.
They say that.
Knock it off.
For me, it's like they say that
they're
now.
They're like dad shoes.
It's
me.
The dad shoe.
If they're not New Balances, bro, they're not dad shoes.
Honestly, New Balances
yeah,
are a thing
new
right now, bro. I'm about to buy a pair of New Balances.
New Balances
myself.
Are out now. Like that,
I'm about
they're
to buy a
in
pair.
Right now.
Hell yeah.
yeah.
But
they're comfortable.
Those were the traditional dad shoes when
it
we were growing up.
It has to have the little buttons, and it has to be like, what is it like?
Like a guayabera?
Yeah. And then he has to have the little bucket hat.
Nah, he's
bruh.
Never worn that.
He's not a bucket hat?
Nah, no. Shout out to the homie.
Yo, I dang. Love the dad shirts. Like, but yeah.
Guayabera, damn. Yeah. So, no, but it makes sense, though. Like, you got to put your best foot forward. Like,
yeah.
Well, and this is what I was going to say. I'm not married, but I would say and I don't think it would change this just in my mind. I think women too, because I have a lot of friends that are married, right? I listen, I'm a devil's advocate.
I love that about
you. Yeah, I listen to the man's side, I listen to the girl's side, right?
Right.
So if the girl's just complaining about the man and complaining about the man, I listen. And
one time you were like, no, what did you do too?
I'll be like, so sometimes I'm like, now it's going to be like podcast after dark. Nah. It's going to be like, so I'm like, so let me tell you something. Are you always looking a hot mess in the house?
Ooh.
She goes, well, yeah, I'm tired. And I get that. But I'm like, no man wants to come home all the time to you in big ass sweats, your hair in a bun. It like, try to do, when I say like the bare minimum, like do something for him.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, I don't know. Would a man like to come home to his wife like looking sexy sometimes?
Hell yeah.
Because he wants to see his girl looking good. Because if you just dress up when you go out, who are you dressing up for?
Whoa.
You should be dressing up for your man.
Clip it.
But clip also, when I like to go out, I'm not married, like I said, I don't dress up to get men's attention. I just love clothes.
Mm.
So like if sometimes I'm in like a dyke mood, when I mean dyke, like baggy shirt, my little sneakers, it just sometimes I want to wear a little dress. I don't dress up for men, I dress up for myself. Mm. But I think that women should also take that in consideration. Like, so you're mad because your man's looking at half naked bitches on Instagram? Well, why don't you be that bitch on Instagram and do that? And then they'll be like looking at me like I'm crazy, but I'm like, okay,
but then that'll make him more appealing to you.
What do you guys think?
What do I think about what?
What I just said.
About as far as appearance and all that?
Because I feel like women too, they like, oh, they just get comfortable.
So
like,
a lot, what she's saying,
a hot mess all the time.
She's saying that women want to be catered to. However, they don't put the effort to also cater to their men. Because at the end, it's what we're talking about.
You hear
about
a lot from your friends, right?
Like I'm saying, I play the devil's advocate. But I'll tell them too.
Yeah.
I tell my girlfriends like, well, maybe you should like stop wearing that. Like,
but you're sexy on.
It goes back to what I said earlier. You know, of make the effort, or like make it once a week or whatever. Let's do date night, and then like you go all out for him.
But it goes back to what I said earlier, where it's like you reap what you sow. You know, so it's what you're basically telling her. Well, if you want that out of him, you should also be doing that yourself. You know.
So check this out. I was watching this thing. You guys seen Soft White Underbelly? I'm going to shout them out.
Yeah.
So I was watching. They just came out with an episode with a divorce attorney. And I shit you not, that shit scared the living shit out of me. I've never seen a full. I saw Sharp's episode. My bad. Okay. I seen Sharp's episode. And I seen another prostitute. But then this is the third episode I've seen of his full thing.
This guy, he interviews people in L.A., basically. But it's like the dark side of L.A.
This guy, he went to New York because he's a divorce attorney. And he's like talking about how, for instance, there's a man that he built himself up to be worth $500 million. Married a woman. And then they got a divorce. And the reason, her career was being hot. And then she leaves a $250 million because all she had to do was be hot. And he's like, I'll fuck him because if that's all I had to do to get the money, I'll fuck him too. And then I'll leave him after, you know. And then he's explaining like case after case of how people will leave somebody else over a dumb reason, or it's money, or it's this, or it's that. Sometimes even over not communicating right, you know, like they just never communicated about finances properly. And then he was like, I'm going to just say one thing that really scared me. Like he said, if you can't communicate with your partner before you get married, and like, let's say just a prenup, he suggests everybody to get a prenup. And if you can't have that conversation about a prenup of how, like, let's say we get in a bad argument and it gets bad and it gets ugly, and you can't really say like, yo, this is how mad I get and I get petty and I do this beforehand, why are you getting with the person? Because that's like jumping out of a plane without a parachute. That's exactly what he said.
Well, because people take prenups as a very emotional thing. It's like, no.
It's just black and white.
Marriage is a business in a way.
And that's what he was saying.
And then people take that personal.
I've been saying you've said prenup. That before. I've said prenup all the time.
I've always said that. Marriage is a business, whatever way you want to see it. Because
he's always been against me on that because he's like, you don't have assets. He's like, why would you want to do that? And I'm like, it's a way, basically, it's either you dictate how your divorce goes or you let the state dictate it for you. I was like, but a prenup allows you to dictate this, that.
Let me add to the context of what I heard him say. He's like, there's two things promised in marriage. Divorce and death. The two only things promised from there, where you're hoping you get to the finish line, either one of you fall off first, or you're going to get a divorce. Ain't no other way around that shit. Mm-hmm. And I was just, you know what it made me do? I'm literally like, me and my, I'm sorry, babe, we had a little episode that right prior to us, watching that, it was a little episode, and I was like, something told me watch it. And she's sleeping, I'm cleaning my shoes, it's late at night, and I watched it for the whole fucking cleaning hour.
Shoes.
I swear, I shit you not, I laid down and I was like, well, you're either going to have to start all over and take it on the chin. Like, this, you're a man. Like, you got to just take a lot of stuff as a chin. Like, you're the one to blame as a man sometimes. Your fault. You're the leader, right? And I was like, fuck it, man. I just, they gave her a hug. And I felt like I extended the olive branch in that moment. Because the guy made me cry. Like, not for myself, but for every man and every person that's gone through divorce. Because he explained both sides. Like, how sometimes if a woman makes more, she has to pay alimony.
Mm-hmm.
And that started
happening. That's what happened to Adele.
That started happening recently.
Yeah.
She had to pay him everything.
Right.
No, that's not exactly what happened to Adele. What happened to Adele is that he sued her because he said the song. He said that the songs were about her. So it wasn't exactly, she was paying alimony. She was more that.
Okay, that makes him a little bitch.
He sued her for that.
Hot take.
She called him a bitch.
I was the inspiration behind all those songs.
You broke my heart and you left me.
Hey.
Okay.
I'm a devil's advocate.
That makes him a little bitch. That was just stupid.
All right, I riled you up. Go for it.
But I would have been out there to her. Here's the money, you little bitch.
Yeah, so that was really what happened there.
What about when Becky with the good hair fucking almost tore that wedding apart? I mean, marriage apart.
She wasn't going to tear that up.
Oh shit! She not stupid, huh?
No,
nah, BB not that dumb. Nuh-uh.
Cause who's Beyonce gonna get with besides Jay-Z? Like, there ain't nobody. Exactly.
Maybe a Saudi. Like, cause when I saw
LeBron James.
But like, come on, you can't perform.
He's married.
You can't perform with no
if they were to
Saudi
both get
Arabian.
Divorced,
like,
they're getting with each other.
It's different. Like when you see them, have you been to a Jay-Z and Beyonce?
I wanted to go to the Honor Run. That shit was sick, huh?
It like there's nobody else she can do that with.
Yeah.
It's different, like Drake? The power she probably feels, like her. No, because he
she
still
got
looks,
kids yeah. with Jay Z already.
Still
bro.
Hey, I'm sorry, those kids. They look a lot like Jay Z, and Jay Z not cute.
It's like you know, like hello. It's like no.
There's no one higher.
There's no one higher, and it's like yeah, you can probably be
I'm
with
trying
a
to
rich
think about somebody,
man, but she's gonna be bored.
It's not, bro.
She's gonna be bored
because wasn't yeah. like some. There was somebody that just like Mariah Carey. Somebody married some rich ass billionaire. Oh, Rihanna. She made that. Oh no, she
what? Rihanna's with ASAP.
No, before that guy, she was with some rich Saudi billionaire. Remember?
Oh, she was.
And I was like, oh shit. And then she ended up with ASAP Rocky.
That's
damn,
what I'm saying, because she can't perform with him.
That's, but ASAP Rocky's still not Jay-Z level, and he's not at Rihanna's level.
Well,
she better have.
But he's in the music world,
right? He's in the music world,
and technically, she didn't make as much money from music world.
Fenty
is what's made her.
It goes back to you like Star Wars. I like Star Wars. Yeah.
Shared interest.
They got that in common.
Hey, that's funny. That's true. But
bitch, but
you want it to be deeper than that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cause like,
and they both like clothes. Clearly,
you know who a couple that I like talking about celebrities right now, like that I fuck with. Because they're forgiving of each other is Cardi B and Offset.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because shit's happened. It's hit the fan a few times.
And it looks
like it's going to be
a real thing. Yeah.
Right. And
like
it feels
they have real struggles and they keep it going.
And she's a writer, yo. Because Cardi B could have been like, oh, you're going to go keep messing around doing all that stupid shit? All right, I'm out. But she was like, nah, you know what? We got a kid together.
Well, because like, she knows, like, you know, I think Cardi
I just
knows.
Saw an interview where he said, you know, I was young and dumb. And honestly, I can vouch for that shit. As a man, like...
No, he blamed it on the lean. I was like, sir, have
and
a
honestly,
seat.
I blamed it on my addiction. I was cheating when I was fucking high on pills. I fucked up. Like, she knows it. Like, I wasn't thinking like myself. And then now that I'm sober, I'm like, no, man. Like, you know, you try to navigate life and you try to be like considerate of your partner and everything. Cause it's not something that you really like... When you cause damage on somebody and then they don't let it go, you blame yourself for that shit. Because now you're just like, fuck, man, I got to continue to live with this. And it's like, when are you going to get over it? I want you to get over it. And she might never get over it. Like, I've talked to people that are like, no, you know what? Ain't no timetable on healing. She might deal with that forever. And if she's staying with you, you're lucky she's... And I'm just like, fuck, bro. Like, damn. thank you for staying, but at the same time, it's like, fuck, like, just give me some slack. I'm trying.
It's a double-edged sword, bro.
Huh?
It's a double-edged sword.
It is a double-edged sword. So that's why I always advise people, like, if you really rock with somebody, if they're rocking with you, but then don't be high on drugs because you won't recognize.
Don't be high on drugs for a lot of reasons, y'all.
You won't.
Not only for that one.
Let's bring the DARE program back.
I shit you not. Like, man, like, I got to give her props because she could have been like, yo, I'm out. You're an addict. Like, and... But she did it, you know? She
really. And that's why you gotta be a.
Mandilon.
Oh. Mandilon. Wait, no. That's
it, yeah. She said you gotta be a.
I called you, yeah.
She said you gotta be a.
Edit it. That's fucked up.
I'm eating like that, bro.
Just is that like why? She's like, that peak. That peak.
Damn.
It's the double earrings.
Oh, shit.
Now it's turning into a roast.
We're going back to the macho.
I'm sorry. No.
Mandilon. She saw that leg she get.
She doubled down.
She's like, down. No, no, he's
Enzo, I said what I said. Just okay, I'm going to the bathroom.
All right, we're done.
All right. Have a good one, y'all.
Appreciate it.